Chairman Crapo, Ranking Member Wyden, and members of the committee, I appreciate you taking the time today for this hearing. Last Wednesday, President Trump declared a national emergency in response to the large and persistent trade deficit that has built up in recent years. This deficit is driven in part by non-reciprocal tariffs, trading barriers, and other economic policies pursued by our foreign trading partners. The situation is urgent. President Trump imposed tariffs to address this emergency, and these measures are aimed squarely at achieving reciprocity and reducing our massive trade deficit to reshore production in the United States. This national emergency declaration and tariff action is the most significant change in U.S. trade policy since we allowed China to join the World Trade Organization. The American working class in particular has suffered concentrated losses from the so-called China shock and other adverse effects of past trade policy and the conditions that give rise to this massive trade deficit. You've heard some of these numbers before. The United States has lost 5 million manufacturing jobs and 90,000 factories since 1994. President Biden left with a $1.2 trillion trade deficit in goods, the largest of any country in the history of the world. The United States' share of world manufacturing output declined from 2001 to last year. In the fourth quarter of 2024, U.S. manufacturing as a share of gross domestic product was the lowest it had been in 20 years. During COVID, we were unable to procure semiconductors to build our cars or materials for pharmaceuticals and personal protective equipment. During World War II, we built nearly 9,000 ships. Last year, the United States built only 3 ocean-going vessels. Our agricultural trade balance, which historically resulted in trade surpluses for our farmers, was in deficit the last 2 years of the Biden administration and likely will take some time to recover. These are all serious indicators of an economic and national security emergency, and we can't ignore it. One important driver of these negative trends has been unfair, unbalanced, and non-reciprocal trade. This includes the effect of higher tariffs imposed by other countries on the United States, the effect of non-tariff measures that promote other countries' exports and obstruct U.S. exports, and other foreign economic policies favoring overproduction and degrading America's manufacturing capacity. And the lack of reciprocity is an important driver of our global trade deficit and with particular countries. So it's common sense to focus on these indicators. For example, the European Union can sell us all the shellfish they want, but the EU bans shellfish from 48 states. The result is a trade deficit in shellfish with the EU. We only charge a 2.5% tariff on ethanol, but Brazil charges us an 18% tariff. The result? We have a large trade deficit in ethanol with Brazil. Our average tariff on agricultural goods is 5%, but India's average tariff is 39%. You understand the trend here. Our trade deficit, driven by these non-reciprocal conditions, is a manifestation of the loss of the nation's ability to make, to grow, to build. And the president recognizes the urgency of the moment. On the first day of his second term, President Trump issued a comprehensive memorandum setting out his trade policy directive. And over the past 10 weeks, he has executed on nearly all of these priorities. He has tightened tariffs on steel and aluminum. He's imposed new measures on auto and auto parts not made in the United States. And on April 2nd, the president declared the national emergency that we've discussed. And so the president has imposed a reciprocal tariff along with a global baseline tariff to achieve reciprocity with other countries and to drive the dangerous deficit down. And the president's strategy is already bearing fruit. Over the past few weeks, a planned layoff for an auto production shift in Tennessee has been suspended. Another automaker is hiring additional employees and expanding overtime to increase auto production in Indiana. Companies have announced $4 trillion in new investment in the United States. Nearly 50 countries have approached me personally to discuss the president's new policy and explore how to achieve reciprocity, and they've spoken with many members of the administration. Several of these countries, such as Argentina, Vietnam, India, and Israel, have suggested that they will reduce their tariffs and non-tariff barriers in line with the president's policy, and these obviously are welcome moves. Our large and persistent trade deficit has been over 30 years in the making, and it will not be resolved overnight, but all of this is in the right direction, particularly as we start to negotiate with these countries. We must move away from an economy that's based solely on government spending and the financial sector, and we must become an economy based on producing real goods and services that provide jobs for working class and middle class Americans in their communities. This adjustment may be challenging at times, and in a moment of drastic overdue change, I'm certain that the American people can rise to the challenge as they've done before. I appreciate this committee's interest in President Trump's trade agenda. I'm glad we're talking about this. That's created debate. And we may not agree on everything, but I know that you want to do what's best for America. So does the president, and so do I, and we'll collaborate together on this. Thank you again for your time, and I look forward to our conversation.
So that was U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer today when he gave testimony before the Senate Trade Committee. It was a hearing today. It was carried live. That's his opening statement from today. And as if the market shows anything today, and all the markets right now are down, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, Standard & Poor, the only thing that is up right now is the FTSE 100. But if it shows anything, it shows that markets do go up and down, and the history of the market has shown positive results. These are paper gains and paper losses. Unless you're doing something silly like taking all your money out of the stock market, which no one will ever recommend you do at this point, especially, it doesn't affect you or I. Now, the tariffs will, and we're going to talk about that as it goes through. I did find it interesting today that the three main nations that are instituting retaliatory tariffs against the U.S. Now, you just heard it, almost over 70 nations have reached out to negotiate some sort of deal. Some of them better than others, but that's the process. That is what was expected. Three have instituted retaliatory tariffs, and those three nations are China, Canada, and Mexico. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Canada or Mexico, I don't know if I want to be in the same boat as China when it comes to this trade dispute. And I posted something interesting today is China's economy depends on the American consumer. The American consumer has just become accustomed to Chinese imports. So, yes, will we not like the fact that TVs won't be so inexpensive, that the things that we've come expected to have come down? But the trade-off to that, and I heard some economists talking about it today, is those good-paying, a lot of time union manufacturing jobs have gone away. And we've replaced that with other jobs that aren't as well-paying. And then we've created jobs like government jobs and jobs in these nonprofits or NGOs that have been supporting illegal migration that do pay very well to the people who have figured out that scam and some of the people who run them. But the trade-off is, okay, we're going to pay you less and your household income is going to be less and you're going to deal with less, but yet you'll be able to buy a $200 55-inch TV. And that's been the trade-off. Okay, you know, I can buy the luxuries that used to be a luxury when we were children, our parents. You know, I remember my parents getting our first color TV. It was black and white until then. And to be quite honest with you, I believe our first color TV was a hand-me-down from my grandparents because they got a new color TV. But we've come accustomed to this, and we've been able to deal with it because of cheap goods from China. We're able to furnish our houses, put electronics in our houses, buy computers, buy iPhones and such. The tariffs are a process. And if you listen to the disparities out there between us and other nations, what other nations, how they treat us and what is done there, even the smaller nations, because I did watch a special today on how China is reaching out to Taiwan, to these small Cambodia, these smaller countries in the Pacific to filter their products through them to escape the tariffs, to escape the fact that this is happening now. But we must see it through. Believe me, China needs the American consumer. The American consumer has just become accustomed. We like being able to buy, you know, inexpensive, what used to be high-valued electronics. So we're going to talk about this as we move on. We're going to go through some automakers that are doing some different things. Some have ceased import of all autos, but again, I don't think you or I are buying a Ferrari or a Bugatti anytime soon, so that'll be okay. But we're going to go through that, and we're going to discuss it. Right now, like I said, the markets are all down. They were up. I mean, the Dow was up 1,400 points. It's now down 400 points. But it just goes to show that the market does go up and down. That's normal fluctuation. If you look back during the Biden years, and I have highlighted this in a graph, it was very much up and down, but remained flat. This is a learning curve for a new way of doing business. This is a shock to the nation. The way I heard it explained today is these are the paddles to give the economy a shock. And you know, you flatline. Sometimes you go down. But then that heartbeat starts again and you start getting things back to normal. We can't continue the way we've been doing things. And it's interesting because we've played the audio going back of other individuals. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, talking about this, you know, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton. But Bill Clinton was the kind of one that started this whole thing with China. But they were all talking about the same correction that was needed, just no one had the fortitude to do it because of this. That's why no one has the fortitude to discuss, honestly, Social Security. Because that third rail of the misinformation that gets tossed out there and the hurt and what's going on with these tariffs right now, what's going on with the stock market is not affecting a lot of us. It is affecting us on paper. Believe me, I have the 401ks. I have the IRAs as well. I get it. I get the uneasiness. No one likes uneasiness, especially you know, speculative markets, and that's exactly what they are. That's why you're seeing this up and down. You know, people thought that there was going to be a big run today, and there was, and a lot of people made a lot of money today. And then they started to panic and sold while it was high. And now it's dropping again. And they're going to do the same thing tomorrow. Watch. As more and more nations come out and say, let's work through this. Let's come to a mutual agreement. Let's come to an understanding, which in the end will be a better deal for America. Will in the end will just be a minor hiccup in our 401ks and our IRAs and our investments because the history of the stock market tells us that. And hopefully these are the building blocks for a more flourished, more involved, better economy. But we have to want to do the work. When these factories do start coming back, when these things start to happen, we need to participate in that. We're a nation who's become too dependent on handouts. We've become a nation that's too dependent on grants or just give me without doing all the work. Life is about work. Life was never meant to be easy. It was meant to be enjoyed. And we have to find that balance. And with politics in the mix, the fact that we've weaponized it so hard, it's hard to see through the forest at times. But we will. We will. So I wanted to start off with that. And again, we're going to talk about this going through the show today. So, but because of, you know, it is the number one thing going on in everyone's mind right now. It really shouldn't be. It should be on the back of your mind. But I get it. You know, I'm not far from those years either to where you have to look at and say, all right, you know, this was a hit. But it happens all the time. If you look at the market, this does happen all the time. It's happened dozens of times in your my lifetime. And if you're older than I am, probably a lot more. But the constant through that is that it has always gone up and gotten better. Now, I know we look at it, well, it's not as good as it was. It's still better than it was, but it's not as good as it was or it could have been. Well, that's just not reality. It's never been reality, especially with the stock market. And we're focusing on the wrong things. The stock market is all on paper until it's time to not be. And even then, you're taking your 4% a month out, hopefully for the rest of your life, and it gives it plenty of time to build back to where it was. You are going to take that hit, especially if you're planning on retiring 20, 30, sometimes even 40 years. There's going to be ups and downs in the market. Now, yes, your advisor, and I hope you listen to your advisor. I hope you do your own homework too. You know, you move it into safer and safer. You know, I'm at a 70-30 mix right now because, you know, I'm still at that age to where I want to be a little more aggressive, but not totally aggressive. You know, I know my children are in the 90-10% range. They got plenty of time for it to work out. You know, I maybe have, you know, 5 to 10 years for it to work out. But then whatever amount of time that I'm retired for to straighten it out. So it's all good. It's 3:23 here at WILK.